So the question is, how did I get into this line of work? And I would say that I arrived at a point in my life where my marriage had ended and I was looking to take some risk. I was transplanted from the Midwest, and in the Midwest, we don't have a wild child period. We don't have a time where you get crazy, get drunk every night. You don't do that. Not really, unless you're kind of like really covert about it. And I had never really enjoyed, you know, drinking tons of alcohol, or had never tried drugs. My only vice is profanity, which I really love. But there was a time after realizing that marriage was not a fairy tale that I was kind of interested in taking some risks. I was interested in a delayed moratorium, if you will, a delayed childhood, a delayed time where I can just be like, you know what? I'm tired of the rules. I can return to them at any time. And so this was a time in my life when I wanted to take risk. It was also a time in my life where I was having issues finding gainful employment. So I started perusing Craigslist, the gigs section. And, you know, you read the listings and you can figure out what they're about, right? But I read this one listing and it read differently than any other listing. And I'm kind of a wordsmith. I'm really good with reading people and really good with finding what are they nuancing about? What is it really about? And so I called on this one ad and I couldn't really believe it, which was actually interesting why I don't really tell this story to anybody, because they don't really believe me. So it was essentially a non-sexual escort service. And I really was like, yeah, right. So I didn't really believe it, but the woman on the other end of the line was a woman like me. When she spoke, I believed her because I'm a specific type of person. My personality type under Myers-Briggs is 0.5% of the population. But if you're a man, you're 5% of the population with that personality type. But my personality as a woman is 0.5%. So when I talked to her, I said, she's a woman just like me. When she says this is what it is, that's exactly what she means. And I said, all right, I'll bite, because the money was too good. So basically, every night between 7 and 9 p.m., I was officially on call, and I would work until about 3 a.m., maybe if the work was good and everybody was calling and everything was good, would work until 6 a.m. So, and I often was pretty hungry for the money. So the gig is that my booker, Casey, basically she interviewed 200 girls before she found me, and she knew that I could do the work because it took a certain type of person to do this work. So she talked to men all day, booking them for my night. And she was pretending to be me, but I didn't have to talk to them until I got to the room. And the ads that they were responding to were on Backpage. I had three wigs in the back of my car, redhead, brunette, and blonde. And so I would get a text and it would tell me who I was. So when I was blonde, I was Kimmy. It would tell me the number of the hotel. I called the hotel and asked them for their address. And then I was expected to be there within 30 minutes. The gig is that you go in. I call Casey outside when I'm parked. I walk straight in and I call her right from the room. If there is any delay, she calls the room like that. So when I get in the room, they've already been prepped. They already know the gig. If at any point in the booking process they have mentioned anything illegal, she hangs up on them right away. And so what I presume is their presumption is that we can't talk about it, but it's going to happen. And what we basically are saying, it's never going to happen. So that confusion is where my job essentially would lie. So when I get in, I collect payment. It's $200 for the hour. And then I'm very nice, and I ask for an upsell. But, you know, an extra hour would only be $100 more. So sometimes I'm collecting $300. Sometimes they're paying for the whole night. Once they figure out that nothing is going to happen, oftentimes the clients are embarrassed and they just send me home. And they just go, you can go. Sometimes I just sit there and watch TV. But anytime, you know, the client's like, why don't you sit here on the bed with me? I'm fine. Thank you. You know, you're really pushing boundaries. You know, I should probably call my roommate. That's who Casey is. She's my roommate. I check in with her. And, you know, if ever came to terms that there was an issue, she would put them in their place. Unless in some situation I was not allowed to call. So I'd like to talk to you about one night in particular, where I was detained by the FBI. And it was a night just like every other. So I got a call for a hotel in D.C. So I, you know, drive like a bat out of hell, and I'm getting down to D.C. as fast as I can. I get the call outside, let her know I'm here, walk in really fast with a push-up bra that gives me two extra sizes, got my taser, got my phone, got my room for money, because when they hand me cash, that's where I put it because they're not going to take it back, and my recorder, because I record every session. And so in the elevator, click, turn it on, boom, everything's good. Get to the room, and I walk in, and I'm walking straight into the room, and three other people come out of the bathroom. So basically, those were local PD from DC, but there was an FBI agent there. I had just done leg day at the gym, so they're telling me, sit on the bed. I'm like, I can't sit down. I can't. And they keep thinking I'm going to run out of the room, and I'm a tall person, so they probably think I might be able to get out of the room. So they handcuff me, and they make me sit on the bed. And I let them know, you know, I have to call my roommate. I have to check in, or they're going to call, and they're going to, you know, I can't say they're going to send police because these are the police, so it's not a threat. Anyways, I just let them know, you know, she's not going to stop calling, so you're going to have to pick up and tell her something. So there's a female detective or a female cop. She goes to pick up the phone. The moment the phone is about an inch above the receiver, I shout, I'm handcuffed on the bed. There's police. And that female cop goes to pretend to grab the rest of the receiver like she's going to hit me in the face. And I just look her dead in the eye and I go, wow, you must not like your job because you're not going to have it for very long. I just left it at that. Now, was I mouthing off? Yeah, mouthing off to the police, probably not a good idea. I was in a risky point in my life, so this was how I chose to take the risk. Not super smart, but neither are people who get drunk every night and whatever. We all go through that wild phase. So basically, Casey now knows the situation and what's going on. So Casey does keep calling those officers. Because I'm recording, I let them know, you know, I'm carrying a digital recording device. I start reading off badge numbers and descriptions and height and demographics. And I do it in a mean way. A paunchy white male with a big gut, saggy pants, disgusting looking, sweating and balding. Yeah, badge number 64669. It's an unfortunate number for this one. Anyway, so a little embarrassing for them, but also keeping them in check, like you're detaining me against my will. So I've also been rehearsed that when you're being held by somebody, security, police, you let them know I've done nothing wrong, I'm being detained against my will, and I would like to go. Because if you're not under arrest, you are allowed to go. And you can repeatedly say this phrase, and technically, as a citizen, you're allowed to be let go. So I repeatedly say that. They want my name and my date of birth, so they run my information. I have a clean record, never done anything wrong. But you never know if they're going to try to put something on your record. Suspicious person. She's been seen. Blah, 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 blah. You know, sometimes they do shady stuff. So I don't know if there's any flags or anything like that, but I'm completely clean. In the end, they also try to take my picture. So security personnel at certain hotels, if they think you're an escort, they would try to take your picture. So every time they keep trying to get me to raise my head, and I have a really long blonde wig on, so I'm just like this. So every time they try to get me to raise my head, I just screw up my face crazy. So that I'm not recognizable. Like, get the fuck out of here. Like, you don't get to take my picture, you know? You don't get to do that. And I'm not going to allow you to treat me that way. I don't know if you think you're Vice or somebody else. And I don't know if you're used to women just, you know, allowing you to do whatever. It's not going to happen with me. So after about, I guess, 20, 30 minutes, I am released because they've run my record, and we know that I have done nothing wrong. I have no record. There's no proof of anything, and I essentially have never done anything wrong with a client. It's always been, you know, spending time. So in that time, basically, they've released me. When I get back on the phone with Casey and I'm driving away, she has said that she looked it up, and she said that there's a Operation Cross Country that is happening with the FBI, and they're trying to rescue people from human trafficking circles. But I was not being trafficked. I did not need rescuing. I was working, and I was spending time with clients to the tune of $80,000 a year. And I only ended that job because after 3 years, Backpage was taken down, and we didn't have a way to put our ads out there like we used to do. That's my story. Thank you.